despite the Packers having an epic collapse on Saturday night against Chicago, as you may have heard with the morning guys, Adam Schefter's already said the expectation is Matt LaFleur and the Packers are going to agree to a new contract. So despite the results not going your way, if you were watching this,
right,
in terms of giant head coaching possibilities, I think you guys survived it. I don't think there's any new vacancies you should be worried about.
Now, look, there are still a bunch of vacancies out there, seven of them, six of them, and not including Baltimore because he's not going back there, that John Harbaugh could actually go to. But at the end of the day, our rooting interest wasn't served this weekend, and it doesn't seem like it came to haunt us. The interesting thing that I'm just talking to Sean about, how come no coach has been hired yet? There's been no movement with any of the openings. There's a bunch of openings, and there's a bunch of candidates. And I guess some of the waiting for the coordinators who get knocked out of the playoffs becomes an issue as well, because you can only do Zoom meetings, not in-person meetings. But what are we waiting for? And Sean said, it's John Harbaugh. So John Harbaugh is the Juan Soto of this offseason.
He is.
Of this NFL offseason. We're not fully in it yet, but you know what I mean. The teams that are eliminated. He's the Juan Soto.
He's the Don.
He's the prize. Yeah. And until he moves, nobody's going to do anything. Because Cleveland thinks they have a shot at him. We obviously, the Giants do. The Dolphins do. Everybody thinks that they have a shot at John Harbaugh. Obviously not the Baltimore Ravens, but we're going to have to wait until he decides what he wants to do. Because it's really going to come down to that. Now, he's asking for a ton of money. I know you all saw this over the weekend. He's asking for $20 million in salary, which is at the top end of what head coaches make. And then $10 million for his staff.
Well, I don't know if that report is true, by the way.
Whatever.
I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah, I think that got debunked, the $20 million.
Yeah. I think that was John Harbaugh.
By the way, this is what he deserves.
Well, yeah, I think it's easy to assume that the top head coach on the market is going to want to be the highest paid head coach on the market, because or the highest paid head coach, period.
It's just like NFL free agency.
Yeah.
When a player gets paid, Andy Reid is paid, Mike Tomlin's paid, the next guy to get paid, head coach-wise, needs to be better.
100%. And rightfully so, because most times a head coach of the caliber of John doesn't get to quote-unquote free agency,
right,
which is where he's at. So I don't believe any of that report, but I do believe it's going to cost you a lot to get him. And it's funny, like watching Saturday night, and all of these games in their own way were entertaining. The only dud was really New England against the Chargers, which was probably a good thing because it was Sunday night. And I don't know about you, but I was tired after watching 7 straight hours of football. But every game had its own form of entertainment. And as I'm watching the Packers meltdown, and there were so many reasons they melted down, including the kicker Brandon McManus, who misses two field goals and an extra point, the way that game ended, and losing to a division rival, not just a division rival, but the division rival that you own for 2.5 decades, I went to sleep that night saying, damn, they're going to get rid of him. I literally did. And I spent all day Sunday.
He's too good, though.
He's great. And it's not a knock on LaFleur, because if LaFleur is available and I'm the Giants or any other team, I'd be running to hire him.
Does he go top of list or is he second?
I would put him right there with John Harbaugh.
Yeah, he hasn't won a championship. So that's what prevents you from saying he's better than John Harbaugh.
He's not better than John Harbaugh. I think he may project better because, A, he's younger, so he could just do it in theory for the next 25 years. Mm-hmm. And he's an offensive-minded head coach. And I'm not even suggesting that after that game I wanted the Packers to fire Matt LaFleur. But after watching that kind of meltdown, I don't know if you guys felt this way. I was just under the impression, wow, they're really going to pull the trigger, because that was an all-time bad loss, and all-time bad losses to me are made worse based on who it happens to.
Right.
And when it happens against the Chicago Bears, a franchise that not too long ago you beat 22 out of 25 times, and the other head coach actively talks about basically how much he hates you, I just thought up until the Schefter report about an hour ago that the expectation is they're going to make a new deal, I was thinking they really are going to pull the trigger on LaFleur.
Yeah, Ben Johnson called his shot like Babe Ruth before the season, saying he can't wait to beat them, dunks all over them. And then the other thing going against the Packers, or why I thought he was out, if the NFL didn't expand to the seventh team, the Packers would not have made the playoffs the last few years. They've been the seventh seed every single year. So it's almost like LaFleur's resume has gotten basically buffed up and shinied up because of the NFL expansion rules.
Yeah, it's interesting because they are a good team. We know this. And they can beat you on any given Sunday, to steal the cliche. But what have they actually done when it matters?
Right.
with Matt LaFleur.
Yeah. They beat the Cowboys, but everybody does that in the playoffs.
Right. And the last time he had his first couple of years with Aaron Rodgers,
yes,
too.
Yes. And so he had the famous let's kick the field goal,
yes,
instead of going for it,
right,
on fourth down.
So that's my point. So the early part of his career was buoyed by an MVP at the time, current MVP, because he had won a couple at back to back in that era. So he is clearly a good coach, but he is not definitely one of the best in the league, because you got to win in the postseason before you can start claiming that.
That being said, man.
If he would have gotten fired, I would have championed for him.
No, and that's
100% for the New York Giants.
I kind of agree. Like, if he had gotten fired, my attitude would have been, all right, I'm still going after John Harbaugh, but in the disaster scenario that he ends up in Green Bay, John Harbaugh, that is, fine, I'll go take LaFleur.
Right.
Because LaFleur is developing a resume very similar to a recent John Harbaugh resume or a recent Mike McCarthy resume, which is he puts up, or Mike Tomlin resume, which is, I win in the regular season, and I've got these catastrophic postseason losses. He's 3-6 in the playoffs, and some of these losses, like the one on Saturday, is all time. Like, it's not just playoff losses. And I think about Brian Daboll. Like, ultimately, what cost Brian Daboll his job? It wasn't just the losses. It was how the losses happened.
Yeah.
And when you think about the way Green Bay lost this game on Saturday night, I'm still stunned by it. Like, of all the things that happened this weekend, and again, it was so entertaining. We're going to get to every aspect of it. I think the thing 48 hours later I'm still most stunned by is that the Bears came back and won that game. It was 21-9, like halfway through the fourth quarter, or a few minutes into the fourth quarter. That was a Giant-esque loss, the way they lost that game.
Oh, yeah, and it was almost over after it was 21-3 for Ben Johnson's coaching acumen, because you go for it on 4th-and-4 from your own 22 or 23-yard line or whatever it is. It falls incomplete, and the next thing you know, they're now right back up. That was made 21-0. You gave them point-blank range. It just felt like a desperation coaching move. And at 14 to 3, you weren't in desperation mode that early in the game. So Ben Johnson almost screwed himself. He ended up surviving it because Caleb Williams is turning into one of the top quarterbacks in football. You just have to face the fact.
Yep.
I know a lot of people had doubts about him coming out of USC and his odd demeanor, but he is a hell of a quarterback. Some of those throws that he made late in that game were just unbelievable. So
the fourth down throw,
it was so perfectly lofted, like layered. You just can't make that throw unless you're an elite player with an elite mindset to how to play the game. And so Ben Johnson survives because he has a quarterback. Which tells you need a quarterback, but you also need a head coach.
Absolutely. The other game that I think had the worry of Giant fans in terms of how it would impact potentially John Harbaugh going there was the Eagle game. And it's funny, and I think you guys have the same impression, despite how bad of a loss that was for Philadelphia, and it was bad. I mean, that's a brutal loss, especially considering the amount of injuries not only the Niners were dealing with, but losing George Kittle in the middle of this game to an Achilles injury. Like, this was an all-time brutal loss for the Eagles. I don't walk away from it thinking Nick Sirianni's in trouble.
Whoa.
I walk away from it thinking we're going to get the same thing that happened 2 years ago, which is a flushing of a coordinator, specifically an offensive coordinator with Kevin Petula.
Right.
Like, the end result isn't going to be Nick Sirianni getting fired. It's going to be, they're going to get a new OC. And that new OC, they will be Brian Daboll at this point.
And A.J. Brown's going to be gone.
Yes.
I mean, that's clear.
Definitely.
And so if you're choosing one, who are you choosing? If you're the Eagles, you're choosing A.J. Brown and his continued happiness, whatever, productivity, even though he dropped a couple passes in the game.
Oh, dude, he dropped a brutal one on third down. Now, he got wiped out because they converted on fourth down later by Dallas Goedert.
Right.
But that is a play you have to make, especially when you're whining and bitching all the time.
Exactly. Give me the ball. Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
And then you drop it. Or do you choose the head coach, Nick Sirianni, who people have been, for whatever reason, not fully bought into, despite making the postseason every single season and winning a Super Bowl, getting to another, that he's been a head coach? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's because they weren't fully bought into him from the moment he was hired.
Yeah.
He was like the third choice, if you remember. Like, he was even shocked he got an interview.
Once you climb the mountain and win it, don't you just forget all that stuff?
Tiki, these are not normal people that live down there. Normal down there.
That's true.
But I don't think they're getting rid of him. Now, would I get rid of him? Probably not. But if you ask me on a deserted island who I'd rather not spend time with, A.J. Brown or Nick Sirianni, I'd probably just run into the ocean. They're both asses. Like, yesterday during that game, and we all saw it, and Tom Brady broke it down, when we get the A.J. Brown versus Nick Sirianni screaming match,
yeah.
My biggest takeaway, and I think I'm an IFO in regards to this, is that they're both asses.
Right. Like, why do that right then?
If you're Nick Sirianni, why are you sprinting over? Now, his excuse after the game was he was concerned about a 12-man on the field penalty.
Yeah, because he was saying, get off the field.
Right.
He was saying, get off the field, or whatever
he
was saying.
But he ran up to him as if he wanted to start a fight.
Yeah.
And they're going nose to nose like they're booking a WrestleMania match. And Michael Strahan said it best during halftime. I agree with Michael. If you're the head coach, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like, there are other ways to kind of take a situation and bring down the temperature. So it seems like these are two alpha jackass personalities that don't mix. But good news, Giant fans, I get zero impression that despite how bad that home loss was, mm-hmm. Sirianni's gone.
No,
so I
think
you
so
can
either.
Almost check off the John Harbaugh Eagle connection because I don't see that happening.
No, the only one you got to worry about now, connection wise, is Cleveland.
Yes.
Because of his family or whatever.
The active vacancies that we already knew about. Atlanta,
right.
Cleveland, whoever else you want to come up with from the 8 current vacancies, 7, because we can't count the Ravens.
Right.
Those are the teams to worry about. But I think we have survived any worry of wild card weekend impacting it because there's no talk of Sirianni being gone.
No.
I think McDermott is fine after that big win in Jacksonville. I don't think losing to the Broncos a week from now is going to lead to Buffalo making a big change.
Yeah, generally speaking, you're not going to get fired after making it to the division round.
I doubt it.
Right.
And losing to a number one seed on the road. I know they may not be the number one seed in terms of the way we view them, but I do think that the Buffalo thing we can throw out. The Green Bay was the one that existed, and it was made worse on Sunday morning. Because I don't know if you heard this. So Green Bay melts down. We all watched the game Saturday night. We're all stunned, whatever your rooting interest was, probably gambling. On Sunday, Adam Schefter starts to put the lines together. Is that mm-hmm. what it's called?
You
draw the lines together.
Connect the dots?
Yeah.
Connect the dots.
He started connecting the dots.
That's putting lines together, though.
I guess once you connect the dots.
I don't know, just on this planet, and you're trying to explain, what is connect the dots? It's putting lines together.
So I got it right, is what you're trying to say.
Right.
Accidentally.
The idiot was still wrong. It won't make the list.
So as Sunday is going on, and we're still digesting the fact that the Green Bay Packers lost this brutal game to the Chicago Bears, here's the connection that Adam Schefter described between the Green Bay Packers and John Harbaugh. And keep this in mind before we play this for you. The latest is that the intention is they're going to work on a new contract because LaFleur has 1 year left on his deal. I don't doubt that, but things can fall apart. I mean, just because their intention is to have a new contract, who knows what LaFleur thinks?
Oh, yeah, he could say, I am worth $18 million a year.
Or
and they say, you're worth $12 million a year.
Right.
So that could be the impasse. It could lead to him not being their head coach.
A money impasse or LaFleur saying, no, I'm not going to sign a new contract, which could lead to his dismissal because I don't know if he would be allowed.
But why would he do that?
Because he may look at John Harbaugh getting the pick of the litter as a coaching free agent and say, why not me? Can you imagine LaFleur as a head coaching free agent, even if it's not this cycle? We don't know who's going to be in next year's cycle. I'm not saying it's going to be as appealing as what we have now, but LaFleur could very well say, I'm not just going to settle because you want me back. I'm not going to accept that. Either get rid of me or I'll be a free agent next year. I think that those are not likely possibilities, but they're possibilities.
Right.
Here's the connection as described by Adam Schefter between the Packers franchise and John Harbaugh.
Well, the Packers former president back in the day was a man by the name of Bob Harlan. Bob Harlan's son, Brian Harlan, represents John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is a Midwestern guy who has a home in the Upper Peninsula. And a lot of people around the league have been wondering if the Packers decide to go in a different direction, if all of a sudden the Green Bay Packers might vault to the top of John Harbaugh's list as the top available choice for him.
So the connection is the former team president's son is the agent of John Harbaugh.
I mean, I guess that's a connection. I mean, it is, obviously, but our father's son going to make business decisions based on a relationship with the dad? I don't know. It doesn't make it. I guess it makes sense, but it doesn't really move the needle for me.
No, I think what would
It's just an interesting connection.
What would move the needle if they can't agree on a new deal, and we'll keep you posted, if something breaks and it's official, yes, a new five-year contract between the Packers and LaFleur. I think what would move the needles on Green Bay is Jordan Love, the roster, and they're the Green Bay Packers. Like, we put over the Giants a lot for being a flagship NFL franchise, and they are, but so are the Packers.
Right.
They are a team steeped in tradition. So I think what would scare me about Green Bay if there was a vacancy is all of that. And all of that is completely fair. But let's see if the Packers and LaFleur can make a deal. But I tell you, after the way they lost Saturday night, I thought it was almost likelier than not that they were going to have a split up. We'll get into all the other games as well, including what happened in Jacksonville between the Bills and Jaguars and how Tony Romo lost his freaking mind during that game. Your calls on the latest with the Giant coaching search, as well as everything from Wild Card Weekend, because it was truly epic. 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.